Welcome to Time Bender Talks, the ultimate destination for professional photographers. This weekly podcast is hosted by Peggy MacArthur, a certified professional photographer with over 30 years' experience and the creator of the Headshot Strategist Certification Program. Peggy interviews a diverse range of experts in business, branding, marketing, networking, and photography. So whether you've been doing this for years or you're just starting out, we've got you covered. Oh, and don't forget to hit that subscribe button so you don't miss out on our latest episodes filled with tips, insights, and lots of fun.
All right, we are ready to have an amazing time with my new friend, Lee. Lee, thank you for coming on the podcast. I would love for you to tell all of our listeners a little bit about who you are, what you do, and where you are on your amazing journey.
Peggy, first of all, thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited about this. So who am I? Well, my name's Lee Broders. I'm an international life and business growth coach. It's a bit of a mouthful, but what does that mean? Well, I help people find the clarity and confidence to live the limitless life that they desire and deserve. Now, that can be getting over blocks. It can be getting around confidence, self-esteem. I work with a lot of veterans, both in the UK, Europe, and in America. And what do I do? Well, as I said, I help people. I do work a lot with businesses to help people grow their business. And also people start the business. So I do a lot of work, and a lot of it's holistically. And it doesn't mean woo-woo with incense and everything else. If you look at what holistically means, it works everything. So looking at the business and life, because if you're having problems with your business, there's a chance your life's not going to be as smooth as it should be or could be. And vice versa. If you're having problems with life, it will impact on your business. I can tell you that now from experience. But so that's briefly who I am. I'm based in the UK. And where am I on my journey? I'm a good way through it at the moment, but I'm enjoying life. So yeah, let's get going.
So what is it that you're passionate about that, you know, helping people live their dream? Like, what is that, where's your passion in that? Because like, I've talked to you just a handful of times and you are very passionate about what you do. So where's that come from, and what stirs that passion up?
So I'm a British Army veteran, and I spent 10 years in the forces, and I started my first business at 26 when I came out. At that time, I didn't really know much about it, but going on through, I've started quite a few businesses. It's about passion. One of the things I do say is, if you're going to do a job, be passionate about it. If you're going to have a business, be passionate about it. So many people, in fact, I think the statistics in one of the things I've talked about is 86% of people globally do not like the job and the work they're doing. Now, I do differentiate between job and work. Work is something that we do. Job is doing work for somebody else and being paid by them. So I'm passionate about, and I think it came to me as I've been a helper. I did my values and purpose, which everyone I think should do at some point in their life. And if you haven't, there's lots of ways to do it. But what it came out was I enjoy helping people. And then when I started looking back, the military, the mentoring I'd done through the corporates and all my businesses, it has been about helping people. So when I say I'm passionate about helping people, that is a true passion. I wake up and I always say, if I can help just one person in a day, my day is complete. And if you're not passionate about something, you're not going to have the drive to keep going, to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, to work till 7:30, whatever, on a Saturday night. If you've not got that passion, you just become an employee who's happy and mediocre in their life, and they'll just tick on doing what they've done because that's what they've been told to do.
Absolutely. And I think that statistic blows my mind. 87% of the people aren't happy with what they do the majority of their time. Like, we spend the majority of our time in our craft, whether it's a job, whether it's a career, whether it's our business, like we're doing that thing. And I've always said that I feel the world would be a much happier place if everyone just did what they were passionate about. Because, you know, we need janitors, we need people to paint, we need roofers, and there are people that love that stuff. We need people that are like, we need accountants, right? There are actually people that love doing accounting, as crazy as that sounds to me. There are people that love it, right? And if we find our passion and we're able to make money at it, I think that, I mean, just the amount of stress, you're going to live longer because you're not going to be under as much stress. You're going to have happiness in your life. You're going to have a purpose. And I think that that's really, really important. So when would you say you discovered that you could make money doing what you were passionate about?
We all changed. So when I was 26, I was passionate about doing IT. I've got a photography business. At times, I've been passionate about photography. And I still am with certain types of photography. I'm passionate about properties. Why? Because the properties that I've got, I help homeless people and people from domestic violence situations. So I work with somebody over here called a registered social landlord, who supplies supported housing for that. I'm passionate about homelessness or getting rid of it. And all of these things, they evolve. Life, we change every day, we change. For me, I went through I'll class it as a midlife crisis. So at 40, I decided that instead of going and doing the typical man thing of fast cars, fast women and fast bikes, I decided to learn. So at 40, I learned to play saxophone. At 41, I learned to fly. At 42, I decided that I hadn't done well at school, so I'm going to do a degree. What can I do? I'll do a law degree. That sounds fun. Not realising that and medicine are probably some of the hardest degrees to do, but we love a challenge. At 43, I started a mediation. I became an accredited mediator. At 44, I started my photography business with my wife. I did my master's of law after doing my degree at 47. So that's 2017, as well as running my other businesses. And I went through burnout. Now, when that happened for me, I didn't know what it was. I didn't even know it was a real thing. And so part of that is I started to speak to a life coach and counsellors about it. And they said, and went through my values and purpose, and I was like, oh, yeah, yes. And then I thought more about it. I thought, well, actually, I can learn to self-heal. We've all got the ability to self-heal, whether it's physical, mental. We've got the power in us. So I started to learn about life coaching and then NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, and then CBT, cognitive behavior therapy. And as you start learning stuff, whether it's in photography, if you start learning photography, you learn about your depth of the field, the lighting patterns, all this. You start talking about those sorts of things. So I started talking about life coaching, improving yourself. The fact that only when your desire to change is greater than your desire to stay the same, will you actually do anything about taking action, about making plans. And someone came to me and says, Lee, why don't you become a life coach? And my answer was, don't be so stupid. It's not a real thing. People don't pay me to talk to people. If I had hats, I'd have eaten a few of them by then, or certainly by now. But I started doing it. I got certified and accredited, and I started my first life coaching business, including hypnotherapy, in 2018. In 2019, someone who was, again, a friend, came and said, oh, Lee, I'm going to start my business. Do you do business coaching? And I went, no. And he went, what do you mean? No, you're a coach, aren't you? I went, yeah. And it literally was one word answer. He says, well, you've got businesses, haven't you? Yeah. So you can business coach? No. It's like, what do you mean? You're a coach and you've got businesses, so why don't you business coach? I went, because I've failed at more businesses than I've been successful at. And he went, perfect. Will you coach? I went, no. However, I then went and did a business coaching course, only to find out it's all the stuff I'd done in previous years for the last 10 to 15 years when I was working consulting to corporates. So things about process, about recruitment, about knowing your direction, all the bits around that. I didn't really do much about marketing and sales because that wasn't my forte. I'd go in and I'd help businesses grow around their process, their IT and their recruitment, and basically putting money on the top line as well as the bottom line. So that's how I got into coaching. And now I absolutely love it. I get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and people go, why? I says, because I can get stuff done before. I do have a little snooze in the afternoon, though. I do admit that.
I am not a napper. I am one of those people that if I take a nap, I wake up and I am like grouchy and I can't get back into. My husband is an expert at napping. Let me tell you, like he'll eat a nice big lunch and then like he'll check out for a whole hour and get up and be all ready to go. And I'm like, how do you do that? Not me.
My wife's the same. She has 5, 10 minutes, half hour.
Yeah.
I don't speak to her for a good 3, 4 hours after that.
Yep. That's how it is at our house. Absolutely. That's funny. The other thing that I wanted to reiterate how you were just out there doing what you were loving and talking about what you were loving. And you ended up like, oh yeah, I guess I do this. This is what I do. This is literally everything I've done in my life, I think, has happened that way. I mean, I love photography. I picked up a camera when I was 9 and I've never set it down. I've always been passionate about photography, but photography is a big, big word. Like there's a lot of different things that you can do in photography. Like there was a time that I specialized in babies and, you know, baby's first year, maternity baby's first year. There was a time that I focused almost solely on weddings. There was a time that I so focused on family portraits and senior portraits and those kind of things. And now I, you know, really focus on headshots and the way to get impactful images and all that. But one thing always had led to the other where I got curious about something and kind of went down a rabbit hole and then was like, oh, this could be my business. You know, you just kind of, and I think that people have this big idea what their business and their life is going to be like. And they get so focused on that, that they lose track of why they started it in the beginning. They're just so focused on like, well, I said I was going to do this, so this is what I have to do, instead of like the hey, I want to enjoy my craft and make money doing it. Well, if that's your goal, like that can take you a lot of places. You know, that there was a while that I traveled and I traveled all over taking, you know, there's times that I'm, you know, set here in my studio. There's, you know, all these different things and different aspects. And I know this month we're supposed to be focusing on communication, but I know you're the process guy. So let's talk about like how processes and communicating your processes and all those things really play into allowing your business to grow to its fullest.
It's interesting because when you said, oh, we're going to talk sales and communication, I'm like, oh, no. So, however, we sell every day.
Every day.
Whether we intend to or it's our job, we're selling ourselves. When you go for an interview, when you're meeting people, you're selling yourself. So selling is a huge thing. Communication, as you can tell, I enjoy talking. I love speaking to people. And that is whether it's communication and verbal, whether it's non-verbal. So things like NLP, you pick up on where people are looking and body language. I'm terrible because someone said, oh, just sit on your hands, Lee. So I'm like, okay. But there's you've got verbal communication, you've got non-verbal. And you talk about processes, everything changes. So I love the way, because as I said, me and my wife have got a photography business and she does the portrait, the fine art portraiture. So the maternity, the newborn, the families, the pets. We did weddings. Didn't like those. I did. They were high pressure, stressful. Mm-hmm. I thrived on that. Well, Diane though was like, yeah, I don't like this. I don't know. And so Diane does the, she's got two brands now. She's got the boudoir brand, which we started as for female empowerment. And then she's got the fine art portrait. But we didn't set out at that. And the only thing that is constant in life is change.
Mm-hmm.
Because true. If you don't change, we die.
We die.
Yeah. And it's a hard reality, but and when you start a business, as you said, I've got this idea of a business, I'm going to do this. One of the things I do with when I'm talking about business growth is I talk about direction. It's one of the first things I talk about with a business owner. And it's whether they're deciding to start a business or whether they've got a business and they're trying to grow it. And for me, you've got the first part of direction and it's your desired destination. And you talk about vision. What's the vision for this business? And they go, oh, I want to sell snow to Eskimos. Brilliant. Great. How are you going to, that's your big vision. And how much snow are you going to sell? I want to sell the Antarctic to Eskimos. Perfect. How are you going to do it? You then look at mission. Action-based things. So what is the mission? How are you going to do it? Well, I'm going to cut up bits of snow and I'm going to give it to them. Sell them. Brilliant. And the one that always gets me is, and then I turn around and say, so what's the exit plan? And they go, I've not even started it yet. Exit. It's about planning the whole lot. There's no use going, I've got this idea, I'm doing it. And that's where processes do come in. And being able to communicate your vision to the people you work with. Most people start their business as a doer. I don't know if you've ever read the E-Myth book or the E-Myth Revisited. They use entrepreneur, manager, and technician. However, I find the person that does the job, and that's how most of us start our business. You don't start your business as a marketeer going, oh, I'm going to do photography now. And I'm going to learn about photography. And that is, you go into photography as a photographer.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the same as any other business. You're not only the photographer, you make the tea, you wash the floors, you dress the people. Sometimes you have to do the makeup, you're the lighting technician and consultant, you have to do all the backdrops, all these jobs that you do. Now, as you grow, the business grows, you then put processes behind it. So if And I'll talk about photography because I know you've got a big photography following. Let's talk about lighting. I love light. Photography, what is it? It's capturing the light. So we'll talk about, you want to do Rembrandt lighting on a headshot. So you know that your light's going to be set here. You've got a backlight and you get the nice little triangle. So for me then, that's great. That's a process. Because I know if I set this camera, this light at roughly, because it's all rough, at this angle, and I go and take a light meter reading, that's going to do, I need to get them to turn their head slightly, and when it gets to that point, and I get that photo, that's my Rembrandt lighting. It's a process.
Mm-hmm.
Once you've got that process done, and it's a repeatable process, you can say to someone, come in, I'll teach you how to do the lighting. And they go, oh, yes, please, I want to learn about lighting because photography is great. So you say, right, but so you put the camera here, you put the light here, and you put your backlight here, and this is how you do it. And then you get this. And then the first thing they'll say, what are the settings? And you go, settings don't matter. Where it sits, important. How much power? Doesn't matter because you've got your light meter. Depends on how you want to do it, what your ratio. So that, for me, is a process that can then be repeatable. So every time you come to do a headshot with Rembrandt lighting, you know where your lights are going to be, a rough idea of the power, and then you just tweak it. Because you know that process, what you can do then is communicate that process to somebody else. You can teach them. When I talk about, because one of the things I talk about is recruiting people. Recruit people, when you're looking for people to work with you, you look for people who've got the right attitude and aptitude, not the skill set, because you can teach the skills. There's nothing as the doer, the photographer, you can't teach them. So you've got this process that works 95% of the time, because you always get that 5% that the flash doesn't go off or something. So you can do it and you can repeat it, and you can then communicate that to somebody else. And when they do it the way you've shown them, they end up getting exactly the same result that you've got. So having those processes in a business, once you've learned the process, it saves you time. When you can communicate that to other people effectively, it frees up your time because you no longer need to be doing that process. You get something else. I'm just using photography as an instance because I know that you'd understand that. I sort of understand it. But that there, and then once you start, and the communication is a huge thing. I'm a great believer in to communicate with people right and lead people and have them as a peer, you'll get anything done in the world.
Absolutely. And I like the whole, like, we have a process in photography. We need a process in our business. Like, I say that, you know, I've been a professional photographer for well over 35 years. I opened my first studio.
Can't be that long.
What's
that? You're not old enough.
Yes, I'm not old enough. I started when I was 3. And I had my kids when I was 4 and 5. But I opened my first studio in 1994. And before that, I worked for, you know, other photographers, but that's when I ventured out to open my first studio. But I didn't run a photography business for a good 15 years. I ran a very profitable hobby. I did not have any business processes in line. I was fortunate that I was able to get clients I don't know how, but I look back on that and I think, where would I have been if I would have actually known about how to run a photography business in 1994 and, you know, ran a business that whole time instead of taking so long to figure out, oh, maybe I should, you know, have a process for this. Maybe I should do marketing. Maybe I should, you know, have all these things in place, which I didn't have before. I was very fortunate. A lot of people fail long before and have to give up long before I did, because they don't understand that a photography business is a business.
I think, and it's not just photography. So I picked up a camera in 2014. My dad was a great photographer. I wasn't. We started the business as a business. Diane has been doing photography for most of her life as a hobby. So when it says, well, what do you like doing? I like photography. And I've never really got into photography. However, let's start a business doing it. And that was it. And I look at it as one, you need to, and as I said, whether you're growing a business or you're starting a business, the basics are the same. You need to know where you want to go and what you're doing at the moment. So what sort of effort you need to put into it. Then it's about marketing. And marketing is, it's not getting lots of leads and all the other. I simplify it. I like things simple. So all marketing is getting your product, whether that's you as an individual or your studio or your business as a product or products you produce, in front of people or potential clients. That's marketing. Now, that can be on the internet, on Facebook, social media. Nowadays, when I first started my first business, how I advertised and marketed was, I put adverts in the newspaper. And this was 1996. I know I don't look old enough, but that's something. So 1996. So it was adverts in the newspaper, yellow pages. It was going around door to door with flyers. It was having a little card that cost me about £1 a week in the newsagent's window, the shop windows. That's how I started my IT business, by doing that. And all of a sudden, computers were just coming to the affordability side. And the PCs was just starting 996, been around for a few years, but it's starting to build. But that's how I used to market. I know people that use billboards. And then when you start talking about marketing, the other thing about that is it used to be the 7 points of contact, which meant you have to, someone had to see you or your product 7 times before it would register. Mm-hmm. And it's something to do with the amygdala or whatever it is, but I always remember being explained to it. A friend of mine bought a yellow Jeep. I'd never seen a yellow Jeep before. And having seen it, I saw about 5 in the next 4 days.
Yeah.
Because, and how it's explained to me is we have so much information coming into our minds through our eyes. I don't know what capacity they are, but it's certainly better than 4K. And I think whatever they, everything we hear, everything we smell, everything we touch, everything we taste, we have so much information bombarding us. So It's been said that if we processed everything, we'd be mad as a box of frogs. So what our brain does to protect us is it blanks out things it thinks are irrelevant. Mm-hmm. So when you're driving along and you see a billboard, you'll drive past it once, twice, 30 times. Then that one time you'll look at it and go, a hairdresser's. I need a hairdresser. Bang. And that is, for me, the marketing part. It's about getting your product in front of other people. For me, the other one is, and we talk about communication, is sales. Sales is creating a relationship. If you go into a shop, you're having a relationship. You're creating a contract when you buy stuff. You exchange money for your goods, but you go into a shop knowing that the product you want there, and you're communicating that by picking it up, that you wish to purchase it. Obviously, with the internet now, it's by clicking the button, but it's about a relationship. And for photographers, for coaches, people who are people-centric and work with people, it's about creating a relationship where no like and trust comes into it. You hear it get bandied around a lot. But if someone doesn't know who you are, if they don't know who you are, they can't buy from you. If they don't like you, unless you've got probably the one thing in the world they want and you're the only person in the world that's doing it, chances are if they don't like you, they're not going to buy from you. And I've seen people sort of cut off their nose to spite the face by wanting something, but they don't like the person, so they don't have it. And then the other one is trust. For a sale to actually go through of any kind, it has to be a trust between you and your client. And I've always said that I've never been a hard salesman. I struggle with hard sales. With the photography, it's great because I just say, well, these are the images. These are what we've produced. You don't like them. Don't have to buy any of them. Don't have to look at the nice photos on the wall. Yes, not that you look good in the frame. But you don't have to buy anything. And I do exactly the same with coaching. If you want to change, you can. I'm not probably the best coach for you at some point, but if you're willing to work with me, let's see how it goes. And that, for me, it is that relationship. It's the communication saying, well, actually, what do you need to be helped with? Whether it's a photo of your mom and your dad. Now, I took photos of my mom and dad 6 months before they passed away. They've now become heirlooms, and they get posted up on social media every time it's their birthday or something like that. But for me, photography is the one thing that it's, as you said, it stops time. And it's having that. And so when you're creating that relationship, that's what you're selling. And when you're selling something, it's something you have to be, for me, invested in. I couldn't sell cars. In fact, I'm terrible at selling cars because I said, yeah, well, you got this knock here and this, well, I've got this problem here. And it's about having faith in what you sell. So that, for me, is the thing, and communicating that in the best way you can.
And I think in addition to that, it's It's building. I like the relationship part of it. I'm very relationship based in everything I do. The community of photographers. I'm not here to sell you something. I'm here to help you with something. And, you know, some of that help is going to cost money, but I'm not selling it to you. I'm just offering it to you. Like, I've got this thing. But I know when I'm with clients in the studio, I'm communicating with them from the first time they call me and ask me, you know, to make an appointment. I'm already like, I'm communicating with them. I'm finding out what they're going to use these images for. And so I know, so when I'm in the studio and I'm in the shoot with them, I'm like, oh, wow, this one's going to look great on for your podcast or for your book or for, you know, your social media post. Oh, wow, this is, and I'm communicating how they can use the product I'm going to give them. So they're already thinking, maybe they came in for a headshot for their website. And then I talk about, oh, you do a podcast? Well, you know, what do you do for this promo? What do you, you know, and I'm communicating all the ways that I can benefit, that the images that I'm going to take can benefit them. And that gives them, I'm not scamming them out of anything. I'm like, oh, wow, I've already paid for this. I might as well get all these in addition to what I came here for, because I've already invested in the hair and makeup. I've already invested in the clothes. I've already invested my, you know, day to come to the studio. So I might as well take advantage and get all of this out. So they're getting a lot more value. I'm giving them more value. They came in for one, they leave with a whole branding session because they, you know, they realize, oh yeah, I do need all those things. And so that's, you know, to me, I think that's why communication and us really understanding what our services are and understanding who our clients are and what our clients' needs are, then we can communicate that. Because if I don't know what you need, I don't know if I can help you. But as soon as I find out what you need, I'm like, oh, I got this. This is how we can help. And I think that knowing, having a full understanding of what you offer, what you bring to the table, and having an understanding what your clients are looking for is really where that communication happens, is really understanding where that intersection is.
And that is what I'm saying. Your whole communication is about selling. You're not selling. What you're doing is creating a relationship. One of the things that I heard someone say, "Oh, actually, you sell people what they want and give them what they need." So they want to come in for a headshot. But what about a promotional thing for shoot for this? We'll do this and. But that's you using your knowledge, what other people have wanted before. I don't know whether straight away on your first headshot you went, "Are you going to need this, 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 and this?" It's when people come and say, "Well, I want one for my corporate, my company photo on the website." Okay, we'll do that. Next person comes in, "Oh, I want one for the podcast." "Oh, what about your website?" "Oh, yeah, that'll do." And it's your knowledge again. Like you said, I don't sell my time, because people can't afford it. However, I can sell my knowledge. And time for me is the most valuable commodity we have in the world. And I've learned that more recently in the last few years. But the selling is, it's a relationship. It's a communication between two parties, two bodies, whatever, to facilitate then getting the best value that they can get out of the time that you're spending with them. And when you can realize that, as I said, getting your product, marketing is getting your product and so on, you're pre-selling as soon as you're on the phone. But it's not, well, you have to buy this, you have to buy this. It's that relationship that you've created that people feel. So they know you are. They like you because you communicate with them, and they trust you because you've just created some amazing image for them. Why would they not have them?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, you mentioned that you failed at a bunch of businesses to begin with. As I feel like I failed at businessing, period. But tell us like one particular, I'm sure you have a ton of examples, but just give us one example of of something that you really failed at that ended up being a great lesson, and you failed forward with it?
Most of the times I've had failures in business is when I've jumped into it and not structured it right. So I've gone into partnerships. And to be truthful, I think that's the one thing is I'm very much a limited company person. I can then, it's not control, but I've got a shared interest, whereas the partnerships I've gone into have been, I've been doing a lot of work, I've been financing, and then finding out that they're not doing the same amount of work. And because it was just, it wasn't limited liability partnerships, it was just a partnership, it causes friction. And so what I've learned is, if you're going into business with someone, make sure you know them well, but also make sure that, because I know people have gone into business with family and it's been not worked out as well as it probably could have, and it causes rift. But I think that's it for me, is understanding what your offering is and where you sit in that business, instead of being fleeced, which is what happened to me quite a few times, more times than that. But the other thing is understanding what you want from that business. Because if you don't know what you want, how can you communicate that to the people that you're working with?
Exactly. If you don't know yourself, and I think we don't sit down and think about, I think anyway, for me, I have gotten in the past so overwhelmed with just staying afloat, paying the bills, making sure, you know, all these things, where you're almost like in a hustle mindset and you forget like where you're going and why you're doing it. And, you know, what the whole point of this whole thing was, to start with. And I think that having that, being honest with yourself is key. I like, absolutely.
I think one of the things that you've actually draws me back into is, in some of my businesses, I didn't create a financial buffer, which meant when things went wrong, you go into a scarcity mindset going, oh my God, what's going to happen? I'm a great believer in living an abundant life and being positive even when you're down. And people say, well, what would you know about failing and bears? I've been there with court dates for repossession of my house. That's quite a big thing. Yeah, I've not had enough money to put food on the table for the children and for me and my ex-wife. So therefore, the kids didn't get fed. No, that's not. Therefore, when people say, because they go, oh, you're so lucky, look at that nice house you've got. Yeah, I've done it. I am lucky. Yeah. It's funny how the harder I work, the luckier I get. Do I take risks? Yes. Do I take calculated risks? Yes. Do all of them pan out? No. But if I hadn't taken the risks I take with the businesses I've taken, and I've learned so much from financial control and all the other things, but what I was going to say is what I did learn from all of them is to make sure you've got a financial buffer. And people go, oh, well, what's that? And it's basically a pot of cash that is not invested in anything and just sits there as a liquid form. So that if you're a bit short 1 month, you can pick into it because you're used to it. And I always say that you've heard of the 80-20 rule.
Yeah.
Well, that split down is any money that comes in, 10% goes into your emergency fund, your financial buffer, whatever you want to call it. And it sits there in the bank account. Don't tie it up into ISAs or anything like that. It sits there. Every month that comes in at 10%. Then 10% you take as personal development for books, courses, anything that benefits you and the business. Now, I say 10% because if you look at big businesses, they work between on 8 to 15% going on research and development. They seem to know a little bit about that, so 10% is a good idea. And then you live off 80%. The amount of people go, I can't live off 80% of my wage. But what they then need to learn to do is actually budget. And when you mention the word budget, people go, oh, I can't do that. But it's say, how much does it cost you to live for that month? What are you, where do you spend your money? Why are you not tracking your money? Where are you spending it? I was speaking to, because I know in America you have Domino's pizzas. And I was speaking to someone and they says, oh yeah, we have, on a Tuesday and a Thursday we have Domino's pizzas. I understand that. They're nice. So that's 40, how much is that roughly? He says, oh well, it's £30 on a Tuesday and £40 on a Thursday. Mm-hmm. So why do you get pizzas? Why Domino's pizzas? He says, because they're convenient. We're both getting from work, we phone up, and then they get delivered to us. Brilliant. We get a shower or bath, and then we can see it on the app. So that's £70 of your weekly expenditure going on that. He says, do you do a weekly shop? He goes, yeah, we do a weekly shop. So how inconvenient is it to get a nice big pizza or a couple of pizzas that'll cost you about £6 for the two of them? They're really good. And I've not thought about that. Okay. How inconvenient is it to get home, turn the oven on to 200, put the pizzas in that you bought because of the last inconvenience, and then go and get showered and that because they take about 20 minutes. And actually, there's probably a lot less fat on them. So you're doing a bit. I'm not saying don't have Domino's, but look where your money goes. Because if you don't know where your money goes, you can't control it, which means it could be going down the drain. But anyway, that sounds all doom and gloom, doesn't it? It's not. But having that 10-10-80 is a really useful thing because you never know what's around the corner. And having that financial buffer or emergency fund, the other thing is you base that on how much it costs you to live each month. So if it costs you £2,000 a month, you know that if you can save £2,000, you can live a month into the future with nothing coming in. If you get £6,000, you can live 3 months into the future with nothing coming in. But if you have 3 months, £6,000, that gives you, if you can bring in £1,000, that gives you 6 months into the future. And if you get £2,000 a month, that gets stayed and you don't need to do it. So there's lots to talk about. That's some of the things I'll do anyway. So yes.
Very good. Very good. Well, Lee, this has been really fun. And I really appreciate you taking, we pre-record this. So Lee's actually hanging out with me on my Saturday morning and his Saturday night. So we're partying here. And I really appreciate you taking the time, Lee. This has been really insightful. And in the description is how people can reach out to you and hang out with you, find you on LinkedIn and all your places. That'll all be down in the description. So do you want to leave us with any last little tidbit of a thought?
So firstly, Peggy, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate the time and the time that your listeners are going to give up listening to my name drivel. Just remember that if you plan your day and you plan your week, it might not go to plan, but then again, nothing ever does. But if you don't plan it, nothing gets done. So all I'll say is I plan my days, I plan my weeks, I know what I'm doing for certain days, if I've got calls in, and then the rest of it sort of floats around. But if you don't do that, you just end up floating around.
You end up being busy and not getting anything done. That's what I do. I end up being busy. Like I can be so busy. And then at the end of the day go, I didn't do anything. Like I can't tell you one thing that I did. However, I was busy all day long.
So my days are split into hour blocks. And that hour might be breakfast. Brilliant. But I plan in time to spend with family. Well, what can't you just do it? Yeah. But if I get stuck on something, if I'm working on something and you get focused And then you get to the app, and your alarm goes on and says, right, family time. If you don't remind yourself, you forget about it. And that for me is a huge thing. But yeah, you're right. And the other thing is, I see so many people who are absolutely busy, inanely busy, but not very productive.
Mm-hmm.
And that for me is, if you can be productive, it outshines busy, because what is it that they say? A fool can be busy.
Absolutely. What I do is every night before I go to bed at some point in the evening, or before I walk away from editing or whatever I'm doing at the computer, I write three things that I need to get done tomorrow. The most three important things that have to be done tomorrow. And what I find out is when I do that, I'll get 15 things done tomorrow. But if I don't write anything down, I'll get nothing done tomorrow. I mean, I'll be busy all day.
Doing
none of the things that had to get done. And then at the end of the night, oh my gosh, I got to do this and this and this. And so that tends to work for me. As somebody told me that trick, I don't know, a couple of years ago, and I was like, well, that sounds super dumb. I need to do more than three things. But no, it really works, as those three things get me going.
I think, so there's a book called Checklist, and it's written by someone who pioneered surgery checklists. And one of the things is, I use Todoist. It's an online app that you can have on your phone, and you put things in. Same as you, night before, I'll check what meetings I've got, you know, what I'm doing, how my plan's working out. I'll make sure I slot my checklist in. But if you think about it, surgeons and pilots who do the same thing every day have checklists. Mm-hmm. Why? Because if you don't have a checklist, you forget something small. And that small can cost you a lot of time, money and emotion if you don't get it right sometimes. But no, checklists are great. Plan your day and spend time with the family. That's the important one.
I love it. Thank you so much, Lee.
Thank you, sir.
And I'm sure I'll bring you back to the podcast again sometime soon. We'll talk photography. We'll talk stuff.
It's brilliant. I'm good at talking stuff, as you can probably tell. But no, everyone have a lovely time, and thank you for tuning in. And Peggy, thank you so much for having me. I do appreciate your time.
Absolutely. Thank you.